Dan, you are the consummate professional when it comes to play-by-play broadcasters in the country. And we had Justin Bourne on earlier, and he talked about how Canada Day is a tongue twister. Are there a couple words when you do broadcasts you kind of struggle with?
Yes. When I say that somebody's trying to compartmentalize something, compartmentalize, I can't do it. I don't say it. So I never say that word on the air. That's a good one. Auxiliary sometimes messes me up a little bit. Those are the two. The names don't normally get me. It's just some words that as I'm saying them, my brain is saying, why are you saying these words? You know you can't say these words. So if you ever hear me try to say auxiliary or compartmentalize on the air, you'll know I'm having an off day.
Dan, before you jumped on, Andy called dinner supper. I've never really been a supper guy. I call it dinner. Are you a dinner or a supper guy?
Well, I you know, it's funny. I was listening. I'm driving home from somewhere, and I heard it. And even before you said, why are you calling it supper? I said to myself, why is he calling it supper? Now, I will admit, I used to call it supper. But then around when I turned 8 or 9, I think I started calling it dinner. And it's been dinner ever since. So I'm not saying it's wrong. It's a free country, and do what you want. But it hit my ear the same way it hit your ear.
Okay. All right.
Great. Dan, I love we have Dan Shulman on, and we are having this great conversation about supper and dinner. All right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep rotating.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Dan, let's talk some Blue Jays. Let's talk some baseball here. I want to start with before the pandemic, all that talk. I want to talk if the baseball actually gets played, if it starts. What has excited me the most for weeks is the prospect of Nate Pearson coming up, and in a short season, as we know, baseball, especially for pitchers too, you can get figured out and you have to go back down. We saw with Roy Halladay. I wonder if Nate Pearson can get up 60-game sprint, if his stuff is on, as we saw in spring training, if there's going to be enough time for teams to figure him out, and if maybe he could be a key factor to the Jays making a push in whatever the season ends up being.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to be a key factor. You know, I still think it's going to be tough for them to be a playoff team this year. They're still a little early on the developmental curve, I think. And because of the way the schedule sorts out, they're playing so many games against their own division and then the rest against the National League East, which is such a tough division. So, you know, a lot of stuff's going to have to go right for them to be a factor, I think. But if they are, he could be a huge part of it. I'm assuming he'll start the season in the, you know, the alternate player pool because there's the service time issue and all that. But that might only mean missing one start. If he could come up and make 10 or 11 starts, even if they limit him to 4, 5, maybe 6 innings towards the end of the year, you know, just to watch him and manage him and be careful a little bit, he could be huge. He could be the kind of guy who 2 weeks in, you know, he's already looking like their best pitcher because he's got that kind of stuff. But I think there's a little bit of a danger. You know, he's young and he's inexperienced, and some teams will see him for a second and third time. And I don't want the hype to be too much. Like, listen, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. came up with an unbelievable amount of hype. And although he had some very good moments and overall a decent rookie season, very good for your typical 20-year-old, he didn't live up to the hype. So, I don't think we should, you know, put too much on Pearson, but like you, I'm extremely excited to see him. There aren't many 6'6", 245-pound guys throwing 102 miles an hour putting on uniforms these days. So, I mean, the Blue Jays, and he looks like he's a special kid, too. You know, great work ethic and inquisitive and always wanting to better himself and that sort of thing. So it is really exciting.
Dan, isn't it refreshing that the Blue Jays have a pitching prospect that actually throws really hard instead of a guy who tries to fool hitters at the plate?
Yeah. You know what? There are a lot of refreshing things right now. Like, you know, I do a ton of reading on the internet for getting ready for the season if the season does happen. And, you know, you see, whether it's The Athletic or MLB.com or ESPN.com, whatever, you know, players to keep an eye on, teams who could surprise. And the last 3 years, you know, there were no Blue Jays to be found when you read those kinds of articles. Now you're seeing them. Now that's just somebody's opinion, but it's an informed opinion, and it's based on the fact that there's a good young nucleus. Nucleus does not slip me up, by the way. I never say nucleus. You never want to say nucleus. But it is exciting to have a guy who throws hard, because the game is about velocity right now more than it is about, you know, tricking somebody. And everybody wants hard throwers. And listen, we've seen the good young position players already in Guerrero and Bobichet and Lourdes Gurriel and Kevin Biggio, and we're going to see Jordan Groshans, and we're all excited about Austin Martin, and now it's time for the pitchers to come. And Pearson looks like he's going to lead the way, but you know what? I'm excited about Simeon Woods Richardson, you know, who they picked up in the Stroman deal. He looks like he's got a chance to be special. They're building up the arms as well, but yeah, I'm fascinated to see Pearson. There aren't many comps for him. That big, throws that hard. You know, and sometimes with a guy like that, you think, well, maybe he's going to end up as a closer. Can a guy that big who throws that hard sustain it and stay healthy and be a starter and all that? But you always give them a look as a starter first to see what you've got, because a good starting pitcher is just so much more valuable than anything else. So I can't wait. I've never seen him throw in person, but, you know, his mechanics look smooth. And again, he's a smart guy and his secondary stuff's pretty good. And he's only going to get better. And I think it is pretty exciting to see that guy. You know, those are usually the guys you read about that other teams have. So it's pretty exciting to see the team in our town with a guy like that.
Dan, you mentioned maybe the possibility for Nate Pearson, maybe you pop him in four innings here or there or whatever. Do you see overall just a possibility of different strategy when it comes to starting pitchers with expanded bullpens, more relievers? Like, do you see a strategy? Because one of the interesting things with this whole 60-game schedule is how managers are going to adjust to try to better utilize their players, whether it's pitching the DH in the National League. Like, that's all part of it. What do you feel about the pitching rotations?
I think there's a chance that we are going to see a difference. You know, maybe not with a guy like Hyunjin Ryu, who's a legitimate established star major league pitcher. You know, if Ryu's pitching well, and I don't mean his first start necessarily, because guys are going to build up their arms a little bit because spring training 2.0 is not going to be as long as the first one was. But if Ryu's having a good day, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, but I could definitely see some piggybacking. Like maybe Tanner Roark comes out and you give him four innings so he doesn't see the order a third time. And then maybe an Anthony Kaye comes in for three innings, or a Jacob Wagaspak comes in for three innings. And then you get down to the end of the bullpen if you've got a lead, and then you have your key guys leading into Giles. So especially early on in the season, when guys aren't as built up and you've got 30 players on the roster, you could have, you know, 16 pitchers. It'll get down to probably 13 a month into the season when the roster eventually winds its way down to 26. But I could definitely see, you know, the Blue Jays potentially have some depth here when you look at the guys they signed and some of the guys who broke into the majors last year. That guys like Anthony Kaye and Wagaspak and Yamaguchi, who they signed, and Chase Anderson. Like, if Pearson goes in the rotation, somebody's coming out. Maybe it's Chase Anderson. He's pitched in relief before. And I could definitely see Charlie Montoyo using different strategies. I think all teams are going to use different strategies. This is a year unlike any other before that we've ever seen. And a lot of conventional strategy, I think, has to go out the window this season.
Dan Schulman joining us here on Sportsnet today. George and Andy on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Dan, we know a lot of hurdles still need to be cleared if the Blue Jays can play games, regular season games, at Rogers Center. And obviously, they're the one unique situation in all of this because of being north of the border. If the Blue Jays aren't allowed to play at Rogers Center, what type of disadvantage is that for them, just based on the facilities in Dunedin or maybe even Buffalo compared to what it is here at Rogers Center?
Well, Mark Shapiro has said Plan B is Dunedin, and he basically said there is no Plan C, that if it's not Toronto, it's Dunedin. The obvious disadvantage in Florida is that cases are spiking like crazy. So, you know, we all know that. In terms of baseball, I don't think it should be a huge disadvantage. They've got tons of facilities down there. They've got a newly renovated stadium, and then they've got their whole minor league complex a few miles away. In some ways, you could actually say it might be a bit of an advantage because you've got multiple fields over there, and you've got 60 players, so you've got more room to do more things with more guys at the same time. But obviously, they would prefer to play in Toronto, where everything is just a little bit probably bigger and better and more major league quality. It's not the kind of thing where I would say you could use it as an excuse as to why things aren't going well if they're playing in Dunedin. The real problem for me is if they can't play in Toronto and they can't or choose not to play in Dunedin because cases are spiking out of control, plan C is a problem. Like, Buffalo has neither the extra facilities for the minor league guys or the, you know, the major league caliber facilities for the major league guys. And I think also they're probably, you know, just in terms of a medical infrastructure, all the hospitals, the doctors, everything that they count on in Toronto and in Florida, they've got years and years and years of contacts and you know, places to go when they need to. They don't have that in Buffalo. So unfortunately for them, they are in a unique, tricky spot. It sounds like the approval is going to come through. I'm sure you guys are following it as closely as I am. But each day I kind of wake up and hit Twitter and look to see Shai Davidi saying something like, they got the go-ahead, the plane's in the air, and we haven't seen that yet. So at the very least, it looks like they might be a little bit behind some of the other teams in terms of starting up their spring training.
Dan, since it is Canada Day, we got to ask you, favorite Blue Jays Canada Day memory? Because there's been some great moments, some special moments over the years, from the cool uniforms, changes to special moments. So what stands out to you?
Well, my memory is not wired like that, but I'll give you my best shot. I have memories of doing a game. I want to say it was 1997. I'm in my car, so maybe you guys can Google while we're talking. And if I'm wrong, just like disconnect the call or something like that, or correct me. But I want to say the Blue Jays played the Expos on Canada Day in 1997, and I'm just going to throw out starting pitchers, and again, I could be totally wrong. I think Clemens started for the Blue Jays, and I think Jeff Juden started for the Expos, and the Jays had the Canada jerseys on, and it was like 89 degrees, and the roof was open, and it was a thing. Like, it was really, really big. You know, the first few years for younger people, like the first few years when the Blue Jays played the Expos, that was a big deal. I'm not the biggest interleague guy, but I thought the Blue Jays playing the Expos was really cool. And I have memories of I think, 97, of just the crowd being, you know, just so pumped up for that kind of game. The other one I remember, and I think it's airing on Sportsnet today, it was the first year that I came back again to start doing Jays games, 2016, and they played a 19-inning game against the Indians. That was the game where Darwin Barney and Ryan Goins both pitched, I think. And both got hurt, right? I think both got hurt after they pitched, or because they pitched. So, and the Indians eventually won it in 19 innings. So those are the two that I remember the most.
By the way, Dan, you nailed it. It was Roger Clemens and Jeff Juden. Yeah, you absolutely killed that. Do you also remember the lost fly ball by Otis Nixon? Do you remember that?
I do remember that vaguely. Yeah, that's my era the first time around when I was doing games. So that, yeah, I do remember that vaguely. But you know what? I'm a very sappy, sentimental Canadian. Like I really am. So I like watching rowing in the Olympics and all, like anything that has to do with Canada. We had to do this thing for Sportsnet about best Canadian sports moment. They wanted it on on social media. And all the moments I thought of were done by Canadians, not for Canadian teams. Like, to me, this is a day, you know, we all love having the Blue Jays in Toronto and all that. But to me, this is a day to celebrate our country. So when I think of great moments, I thought of what Canadian athletes have done in their history. And actually, my moment was Daryl Sittler scoring the winning goal in the Canada Cup in 1976. Now, I was an enormous Leaf fan as a kid and an enormous Daryl Sittler fan. So I went that route. But it's, you know, this is a wonderful day because, I don't know about for you guys, because of the pandemic, it's kind of just Wednesday for me. Like, we're in my house, we're pretty tight in our bubble. I don't go out to do a whole lot. And, I'm taking my kid in the pool when I get back home, and I'll throw something on the barbecue tonight, and that'll be Canada Day. But I hope everybody celebrates well, because there's a lot to celebrate about in our country. And bring a mask, celebrate responsibly, and we'll all get through this together.